And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody has had a fabulous weekend. Adam, good morning. How are you?
I am good. I hope everybody had a nice July 4th. Joe is still on vacation.
He is on vacation. Someone, he'll be back next Monday.
Someone tweeted at me, "What happened to Joe?"
He's just taking a long vacation. It's all good.
He's gone. Joe is gone. No, he's having a nice family vacation, a well-earned vacation.
He is.
He'll be back on Monday.
He will be. I shot off some pyrotechnics last night. It's all good. All good around here. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Maybe he's gyrating somewhere like he has in his promo.
Maybe so.
I hope not.
Nothing better than thinking about Joe Rexroad gyrating at 6:01 a.m. Nick, welcome to the show officially. Nick
yes,
Keyser,
thank you.
Now our executive producer here on Robbie and Rex Road.
I appreciate that. Yeah, well, it's good. Well, it's an early wake up call.
Well,
but
it's good.
Nothing to bat an eye at for sure. It'll be good for me. I think it'll be fun for the station too, getting some extra coverage with me being able to leave a little bit earlier and going to cover some things. So looking forward to that. And yeah, best wishes to Michelle. We had a great farewell for her a few days ago. That was well deserved for her. And as a show, I think, you know, we can wish her all the best. And glad to be here with you guys this morning. And I know that Joe is not here, but when that reunion does take place, I'll be more than ready for it.
There we go. Nick Keyser, officially the executive producer of the program, send your well wishes to Nick on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, did you watch this hot dog eating contest take place yesterday? It was originally canceled due to weather in Coney Island. Your boy Joey Chestnut coming through again in dominating style.
So I don't use the word hero very often, but Joey Chestnut is the greatest hero in American history. And here's why.
I turned on
ESPN, and I was like, where's the hot dog eating contest? And then the lower right-hand corner was a little yellow box that said, in a weather delay. I'm like,
which is amazing.
The hot dog eating contest is in a weather delay? Now, there was,
you guys don't have a tent?
Torrential rain in New York yesterday. They were able to get the women's competition in, which happens earlier.
Right.
But before the men's competition, it was pouring in New York to the point where it had been canceled. There were reports that it was going to be canceled.
Yeah. Can't do that.
You can't do that. And Joey Chestnut would not allow that to happen. There was a great tweet that I saw yesterday. Now I have to clean it up a little bit because there is some
colorful language.
Colorful language. But this is from Kenneth Heasley, who was in person live at the hot dog eating contest. He said that Joey Chestnut came out and said, and I quote, "I'm going to get the rest of the guys out and we're going to do this effer." But he didn't say effer, of course. And he went out and won. I think he ate 62 hot dogs. Eighth consecutive Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest championship. So good for Joey Chestnut. That's the way you do it. You can't let rain spoil your
gluttony. That was my thing. Like, what are we doing here? In the long history of this competition, there has to be a time before this where weather has been a factor. We got to have a weather contingency for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. What are we doing?
I wouldn't have it inside. I saw plenty of tweets from people that said, why can't they do it inside? I don't know if you've seen these people eat hot dogs and how many people have regurgitated said hot dogs. I don't think having it inside would be a good idea. So,
just do it in the rain, man. It'd be all right.
Well, I also saw a tweet, which I do not have in front of me, that was talking about, like, it was like a betting, it was from like a, you know, a sports book.
Yeah.
And it was talking about how, like, the rain could affect the hot dogs. Oh. Like, the buns could get dry or the hot dogs could get dried up, and that would make it harder for them to eat. And I was like, I don't need that much detail. Just eat the hot dogs.
That's right.
And he ate them. He did. So, Joey Chestnut, 16-time, I believe, world hot dog eating champion. Eat your heart out, Ric Flair.
That's right.
16-time champion.
Congratulations to Joey Chestnut. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will drop by at 8 o'clock. Paul Kuharsky on vacation as well. So Kuharsky out this week. Steve Lehman coming up at 8 o'clock. We're looking forward to that. And the Nashville Predators have been very busy since the last time we were on the air Friday afternoon, Matt Duchene was bought out by the Nashville Predators. So the three-year contract that was remaining on his deal now bought out by Nashville. He became a free agent. The next day was the opening in free agency on July 1st, and it did not take the Predators very long to get involved in free agency. So we're going to get hot and heavy into that throughout the show today here on the program. Let's start with the Matt Duchene buyout, Adam, because that was the first move that came across. Ryan Johansson had already been traded, and we had talked a lot about the Johansson trade and what that meant. And one of the questions that we asked after the Johansson trade was, is Matt Duchene safe? Does this mean that Matt Duchene is going to be back next year? Could the Predators try to trade him? Could a buyout be on the table? And I think most people thought with 3 years left on his deal, it's probably going to be Matt Duchene back in gold and wearing number 95 for the Predators, playing on the wing on the first line, and then you kind of reevaluate things next year. And that was not to be. Barry Trotz buys him out with 3 years left on his deal. He has since signed a one-year, $3 million deal with the Dallas Stars, so Matt Duchene will be remaining in the division. But what did you make of the move by the Predators to buy out Matt Duchene?
It was surprising, just for the reasons that you said. I thought they were going to keep him around, one, because they probably were not going to find a taker for him, and two, they need someone who can score. I know Matt Duchene's game is, you know, there are aspects of his game that can be frustrating, to say the least. But one thing he knows how to do is generate offense.
Yep.
And they need someone who can generate offense. But you know, you look at their ledger now, the Predators will carry a dead cap hit next season of close to $9 million when you combine the retained salaries on Ryan Johansson and Matthias Ekholm and the buyouts for Matt Duchene and Kyle Turris. Now, it's pretty amazing. Amazing is probably not the right word. The following season, 2024-25, that dead cap hit jumps up to, I think, more than $11
million.
It might be
correct.
Close to $12 million because of the buyout calculation. Matt Duchene's dead cap hit goes from around $2.5 million next season to $5.5 million the following season and even $6.5 the year after that. So they're not really in 2024-25 and 25-26, they're really not saving that much money on the cap. Just a couple million dollars. But the fact that they are going to enter next season with nearly $9 million in dead cap space, that's quite something. But I thought the fit for Duchene in Dallas is actually a really good fit. Because in Dallas, at best, he is their fourth best forward. He is not better than Robertson, Hintz, or Pavelski.
Correct.
At best, he's their fourth best forward. And that's, I think, the role that Matt Duchene needs to play at this point of his career. I don't think he is cut out to be the guy, which he would have been here, which he has been playing the role of since he got here. And of course, he had one fabulous season, scoring 40 plus goals. But when you read between the lines of the things that Barry Trotz has said over the past couple of weeks, going back to when they traded Ryan Johansson,
yep,
it's pretty clear that Barry Trotz was not comfortable with the idea of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene being the role models for his younger players.
Yep.
And, you know, he went out, Barry Trotz, of course, being Barry Trotz, went out of his way to praise Johansson and Duchene for what they did for the organization. And, you know, he said this with Johansson specifically about how when he doesn't fit into their window, quote unquote, like by the time they expect to be competitive again, he probably won't be a part of that. So they moved him. He sort of said the same thing about Duchene, if I'm not mistaken. But it's pretty clear to me, and I'm sure everybody who's listening, that clearly Barry Trotz did not want Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene around the younger
Correct.
Players.
Well, and there was a quote that he had in the immediate aftermath of all this that I thought was pretty telling. And I don't know specifically who he's talking about here, but my mind went to Duchene and it went to Johansson to a certain degree, but I think Duchene was probably the one that it immediately went to on this quote from Barry Trotz. And the quote was, quote, "I don't want you to come to Nashville to retire. I want you to come to Nashville to win." That mm-hmm. was the quote that Barry Trotz had thrown out there. And it just felt like, and I think it was reinforced by some of the other signings, which we'll get to here in just a second. I think it was pretty clear that Barry Trotz looked at Ryan Johansson, looked at Matt Duchene, and beyond the obvious of the contracts and the $8 million that they're getting paid every year, the production not always lining up with what they're getting paid, beyond all those things that we've talked about ad nauseum here, I think he also felt like those guys were not the type of – it wasn't the blueprint of what he wanted his team to look like in terms of their approach, their style, all these things. And look, I really like Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. And, you know, those guys I think are good players. I'm excited to see what Johansson does in Colorado. I'm with you. I think it's a good fit for Duchene in Dallas where he doesn't have to be their superstar forward. So I'm interested to see what they do as they move forward here. But I think it's pretty clear that Barry Trotz looked at those two and said, yeah, it's time to just turn the page on those two. And, you know, a lot of people in the immediate aftermath of the Duchene buyout were like, what are they doing? They have 3 years left on this deal. Why didn't you just let him play another year and then buy him out after that? And I understood that thought process at the time. I'm not even, you know, fully convinced that it was the right move to buy out Matt Duchene right this second, but it was clear that Barry Trotz did not want him around the team anymore.
I think the word I would use to describe both Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, and I know Ryan Johansson a lot better than I know Duchene because I covered Ryan Johansson as you did for his entire Predators career almost, laid back.
Yep.
I don't think they're bad people.
No.
I think they're both, you know, good people, good citizens. But I think their approach to preparation and all of that can be described as laid back. And I think Barry Trotz clearly, and we'll talk about the players he brought in, clearly those players you would not describe as laid back based on everything you've seen and heard. So I think Barry Trotz decided that he wanted stronger leaders to be the shepherds of their younger players. So, you know, Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene did some good things when they were here, but Barry Trotz thought that he would be better off with them not here anymore by any means necessary.
So Matt Duchene was bought out by the Nashville Predators. Ryan Johansson has been traded by the Predators, and they've since made some big signings for next year's team and beyond as well. We'll get into the free agent deals that the Predators have made to this point. Get your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Look, I'm surprised. I knew they were trying to trade him. That's been on and off for a couple of years, but I knew they were trying to trade him. I'm not surprised that they couldn't do that, because simply there's just not a lot of teams that can handle that kind of a contract. But I was blown away when the note came across this afternoon that he was getting bought out. I did not see that coming. That just that really surprised me. I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but it did surprise me.
Why were you so surprised?
Why was I so surprised? Because that's a big ticket. Like, Ryan Johansson is 2 years at $4 million. And plus, like, how many teams, like, eat that much salary? Now, it helps that you guys have a lot of cap room, to almost $25 million. You got a lot of flexibility to do things. But basically, you are you're asking your ownership to eat a lot of money for people who are not going to play for you. And some owners will do it. Some owners won't. Some owners will do it at certain times, and not others. But that is a big commitment to the turnaround of the team by your ownership group. Like, there's a lot of teams that wouldn't do that.
That was Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet on with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace on Friday, reacting to the Matt Duchene buyout. Matt Duchene has since signed with the Dallas Stars, 1 year. $3 million in Dallas. So both Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene remaining in the Central Division. Johansson with the Avalanche, Matt Duchene with the Dallas Stars. We'll take your thoughts on that. Adam in Hendersonville on the text line says, I love what Adam just said. The Preds have been laid back for way too long. It's time to go to work. This is from Adam from Hendersonville on the text line. And Adam, the next day, Barry Trotz definitely went to work. He brings in Ryan O'Reilly on a four-year deal. He brings in Luke Shen on defense, formerly of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he brings in Gustav Nyquist as well. Three veteran guys that have been around the league a long time that have played good hockey throughout their career to this point. Luke Shen, most recently of Toronto, was kind of a surprise part of the mini run that the Toronto Maple Leafs just went on in the playoffs. I mean, they won a round, so
they did win a round for the first time in 20 years. So I guess that qualifies as a run,
kind of a mini run.
But then they got smacked in the second round.
They did get
Florida,
smacked in the second round by the Panthers. No question about that. But obviously, the headliner there is Ryan O'Reilly. So we'll go through like each individual part of this. Let's start on Ryan O'Reilly, because Ryan O'Reilly, obviously, when you start to think about what the Predators have been looking for and the two guys that we just talked about, Ryan Johansson was a centerman. Matt Duchene was originally signed to be a centerman, and it didn't work out, and they moved him over to the wing. And obviously, his fit here in Nashville on the wing was better than it was at center. But Ryan O'Reilly has been a guy that's been in the league a long time. He was I believe he's the captain of the Blues when they won the Stanley Cup.
You know what? I just looked this up because I had thought about that. No, he wasn't. Alex Pietrangelo was the captain. Right. And when Pietrangelo left for Vegas, O'Reilly was
became the captain after that. Yeah. So he was obviously a huge part of St. Louis winning the Cup back in 2019.
Won the Conn Smythe.
He won the Conn Smythe as the playoff MVP. And look, Ryan O'Reilly has been a really good player. I thought this past season when he got signed by Toronto that that was a brilliant signing by them. Now, obviously, he had some injuries that he had to deal with. Trade. I don't know why I said signing. But trade by the Maple Leafs this past year. But he had some injuries that he had to deal with. But the Predators bring him in on a four-year deal. As you said, the cap hit is not that bad. I mean, it's a $4.5 million cap hit?
Yes.
Every year. So I think the cap hit is about right in line with what they've got there. But what did you make of the Predators pretty early into free agency on Saturday when the period opened up, signing Ryan O'Reilly to a four-year deal at the age of 32 coming in?
So I said this to you and Nick when we got into the studio this morning, that Barry Trotz can officially say that he is an NHL general manager because he overpaid for intangibles. And I'm not just talking about Ryan O'Reilly. I'm talking about all of the players he signed, specifically Luke Shen, which we'll get to.
Nope.
But when it comes to Ryan O'Reilly, $4.5 million per season is more than fair value, I think, for Ryan O'Reilly. I think 4 years is too long. But when you think of Ryan O'Reilly, we just talked about Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson being laid back. Based on what I know of Ryan O'Reilly, he's the opposite.
Correct.
You know, he is ultra competitive, and as you said, a former captain in the NHL, a Conn Smythe winner, a Stanley Cup champion. There's a reason why the Toronto Maple Leafs went out and got Ryan O'Reilly at the trade deadline, because they wanted to infuse their dressing room with his leadership and Luke Shen too. By the way, Luke Shen also a trade deadline acquisition of the Toronto Maple Leafs from the Vancouver Canucks. It's interesting because Ryan O'Reilly is still a very good player, specifically defensively. I think his offensive game is starting to deteriorate. It might be too strong of a word, but I don't think his offensive game is where it once was, and that's understandable. But he still does a lot of things well. He's a great face-off guy. He's a really good passer. He puts the puck in dangerous areas. You can count on him in every situation. He was playing on the power play in Toronto. I'm sure he was playing on the penalty kill. I don't have those numbers in front of me. But here's the thing that makes me scratch my head a little bit about Ryan O'Reilly. In Toronto, he was their third line center. There were times where he played on the second line on the wing with John Tavares, but for the most part, he was a third line center behind Austin Matthews and John Tavares.
Yep.
He is I would say borderline elite third line center at this point of his career, and maybe a low end second line center. Based on what we know of this roster right now, can we safely assume that Ryan O'Reilly will be this team's first line center?
I mean, I think so. I do wonder if they just say, Ryan O'Reilly, we know what you can do. We're going to let Cody Glass be first line center, or Juuso Parsonen be first line center, and just see how it goes. But yes, on paper, I think Ryan O'Reilly is their number one center right now.
He's not a first line center in the NHL anymore. And you're right that he could play second line center, and someone like Glass or Parson or whomever could play first line. And, you know, the number, like we talked about this with Andrew Brunette last week. He talked about the top six.
Right.
And he said that he thinks that's a bit overrated because the best teams don't, you know, have minutes evenly dispersed among their forward lines. So, you know, perhaps I'm thinking too much about that. But based on what they have on their roster, I wonder if Ryan O'Reilly will play a role that maybe at this point of his career he's not particularly suited for. But when it comes to being a role model, which we talked about with Duchesne and Johansson, there aren't many players who are available in free agency who fit that bill better than Ryan O'Reilly. So if that was the intention of signing O'Reilly by Barry Trotz more than anything, I understand it. I'm glad we weren't on the air until today because I've had a lot of thoughts about free agency.
Yep.
And I think my stance on it has softened a bit from Saturday because I felt that immediately a lot of the moves that Barry Trotz made were counterintuitive to what the Predators should be doing, in my opinion. And I still kind of feel that way, perhaps not as strongly as I did on Saturday. But Ryan O'Reilly would not have signed here, in my opinion. We haven't heard from Ryan O'Reilly, so I'm putting words in his mouth. But my assumption is that Ryan O'Reilly would not have signed here, despite the fact he's already won, if he wasn't told by Barry Trotz that this team was going to try to be competitive almost immediately.
I mean, you would think that. Now, it could just be as simple as were the Predators the only team that were offering him a four-year deal? Like, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, look, I mean, he signed, what, 20 minutes into free agency on Saturday? It's not like conversations don't happen before all that, but it was pretty quick into free agency when Ryan O'Reilly had made his decision. So, I mean, the move tells me that the Predators want to at least be somewhat competitive, right? I mean,
and is that the right decision?
You're bringing in O'Reilly. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but you're bringing in O'Reilly. You're bringing in Shen. You're bringing in Nyquist. I mean, these are veteran pieces. And look, I went through the lineup in the immediate aftermath of them buying out Matt Duchesne on Friday, and I started to list off the forwards. They needed some veterans. I mean,
there's
no question about it. There was too many young guys, like to the point where I was trying to fill out four lines. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if he's ready for the NHL, but he's in. I don't know if he's ready for the NHL, but he's in my lines just based on the roster that they had available to them at the time. So they needed to go out and get a guy or two in free agency to add, especially to their forward group. But, I mean, now they've got two guys that they've added to their forward group, one of which is on a longer-term deal in Ryan O'Reilly. Gustav Nyquist signing a two-year deal. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. It is a very interesting approach by Barry Trotz. And my initial reaction was the same. I like a lot of things about Ryan O'Reilly. I think he will help the Predators.
Yes.
I don't love the four-year deal.
No.
I just don't love the four-year deal at age 32 when he's been in the league for 14 years.
Yeah, I don't love that. And, you know, my approach to free agency would have been, like, I understand what Barry Trotz is trying to do. He wants to bring in guys who have been around for a while who can show the younger players the ropes. That could have been accomplished, in my opinion at least, could have been accomplished by signing players to 1 or 2 year deals. There were plenty of veterans that signed those types of contracts now. I'm not saying they would have signed with the Predators, but I think of Nick Foligno, 1 year in Chicago. Corey Perry, 1 year in Chicago. Jason Zucker, 1 year in Arizona. Blake Wheeler, another buyout the other day, bought out by the Jets, signs with the Rangers.
Yep.
What I would have done is signed those types of players to 1 or 2 year deals and basically cycled through them. Bring them in for a year. Let's use Jason Zucker as an example. Bring him in for a year, play in your top six, trade him at the deadline, get assets. Next summer, bring another guy in for a 1 or 2 year deal, trade him at the deadline, get assets, and continue that for a couple of years. That's how I would have approached it. Bringing in veteran, quote-unquote, role models, but not committing significant term to said role models.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators in free agency. They sign Ryan O'Reilly, Luke Shen, Gustav Nyquist to the team. We'll get into the Shen and Nyquist signings a little bit deeper coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Going through NHL free agency moves that the Predators have made. We've discussed the Ryan O'Reilly deal. And two more big moves on Saturday by the Predators, Adam. Luke Shen signed to a three-year, $8.25 million contract by the Predators. And Gustav Nyquist signed to a two-year deal worth just over $6 million for the Predators as well. So Ryan O'Reilly signed to a four-year deal. Luke Shen to a three-year deal. And Gustav Nyquist to a two-year deal. Let's start on the Luke Shen front, because Luke Shen is 33 years old, as we've talked about. We most recently saw him with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was traded from Vancouver last year to Toronto, and he did play well for the Maple Leafs in the playoffs this past season. He does have veteran qualities and leadership qualities that are attractive to the Predators and other teams. I think the three-year deal for him is kind of absurd. Like that I have a much bigger problem with the 3 years for him than I do with the 4 years for Ryan O'Reilly. That's just me.
This is an objectively bad contract. I understand the Predators have cap space. They can overpay for things like this. But this is an objectively bad contract. So I went back to Cap Friendly, and I looked at Luke Shen's recent contracts. So three of Luke Shen's past four contracts, so not including the one he just signed, have been one-year deals. Three one-year deals and a two-year deal. He had a two-year deal this past. His most recent contract that just expired was a two-year deal. The combined value of those four contracts, $4 million. And he just signed for $2.75 per season. It's just, I'm looking at it in a vacuum, but this is an objectively bad contract. And when you look at, you know, which were the best and worst contracts signed in free agency, I'm sure you might see this contract on there. Now, Luke Shen, to me, is like the type of game he plays is sort of a relic of a bygone era. Remember what we talked about, stay at home defensemen, you know, several years ago? That was a thing. I remember the last quote unquote stay at home defenseman the Predators had. Remember Barrett Jackman?
Oh, yeah.
He signed for a year. Like, Barrett Jackman was a stay at home defenseman. So Luke Shen actually led the NHL in hits last season. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but in the NHL, they've been tracking hits as a statistic since 2005, 2006, so it's a small sample. Luke Shen has more hits than any defenseman in NHL history.
Wow.
So he is, I mean, like I said, it only goes back to 2005, so there's an asterisk there. But since the NHL began tracking hits almost 20 years ago, no defenseman in the NHL has more hits than Luke Shen. And there is some value in that. And based on what I read, I believe in The Athletic, Barry Trotz basically signed Luke Shen, other than his leadership qualities, to be a Roman Josi protector. He talked specifically about teams taking liberties with Roman Josi, and I know Roman was concussed last season and has dealt with concussions in the past, and I know Luke Shen is one of those players that, quote-unquote, keeps other players honest. I just talked about how I would have signed players to 1 or 2 year deals and cycled through them and traded them. You didn't need to give Luke Shen this many years and that much money. He had a good playoff with Toronto. He played well next to Morgan Riley, which makes me think he might play next to Roman Josi, which I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, from all I've heard, Luke Shen is a wonderful person, a stand-up guy. He's going to fit that role model role to a T. I just think this was an objectively bad contract.
Well, and my thing is, too, also, like, where is he going to play? Because he could play with Roman Josi based on those comments from Barry Trotz. We'll see. But, you know, they have Josi under contract. They have McDonough under contract. Now they've signed Luke Shen. They got a deal done with Alex Carrier over the weekend. Dante Fabro is back. Jeremy Lauzon is under contract. Like, You're running out of room for these guys. Is Spencer Stastny going to play a role with this team next year? Like, it's going to be really interesting to see where exactly he plays and what that looks like, because You know, you got Carrier and Favreau both coming back on one-year deals next year. You know, it's hard to imagine both of those guys being part of the long-term part of this. And by the way, I didn't even mention you have Tyson Berry. So Tyson Berry is also on your team.
Oh, yeah.
At the moment. So that's seven defensemen that you have all under contract at the NHL level right now. So, like, where is Luke Shen going to play? Like, Luke Shen, to me, he's not better than Roman Josi. He's not better than Ryan McDonagh. He's not better than Tyson Berry. So where's he playing?
When I was doing this exercise, looking at, you know, what lineup they could put out there on opening night, assuming there are no more changes, which is not a safe thing to assume, I had Josi and Shen, McDonagh and Barry. That was my top four.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
And like I said, Shen played well, specifically in the postseason, next to Morgan Rielly. And Morgan Rielly is the closest thing that the Maple Leafs have to a Roman Josi type in terms of, you know,
right,
generating offense, getting up on the rush. So he has experience playing with that kind of player. I wonder, I would have to go back and look if Shen played with Quinn Hughes in Vancouver, because
Barry Trotz did say that.
He did play with Hughes?
That's what he mentioned.
Oh, boy. So I think
so he's playing with Roman Josi.
He's playing with Roman Josi. And I don't love it. I don't love it. I mean, I this is not a knock against Luke Shen, the person, because everything I've heard over the past few days is that he is a excellent stand-up person. And he's going to, like I said, fit that role model role to a T.
Yep.
I read a lot of things that were written about him in Toronto and how great he was for them. I just think at this age, don't need to be committing that much term and that much money to Luke Shen. I just think, like I said, Barry Trotz, officially an NHL GM, overpaying for intangibles.
Well, and then there's Gustav Nyquist, 2 years, $6.3 million deal with the Predators, a guy that, you know, he's been around the league for a long time. He, formerly of the Red Wings, he was playing with the Red Wings, I think, when they were still in the Central Division with the Predators. So it's been
a long time
that Nyquist has been around. And look, the last couple of years for him, he was in Columbus, and then he got traded to Minnesota this past year. And his total for last season, he played 51 games, scored 11 goals, put up 27 points. So you're talking about, you know, a guy that's not going to come in and, you know, just change the equation offensively for the Predators. But he is a veteran forward that I think at this stage in his career, you can probably count on anywhere from 10 to 15 goals, probably somewhere in that neighborhood. And the last few years, he's been around a 26, 27-point player. So he's kind of your middle six winger that you can place up and down the lineup if you're the Predators, kind of your nice veteran. I don't have much of a problem with the Nyquist deal.
This is actually the contract that they have no problems with of the three, because it's 2 years and the cap hit is what it is. What's like three something,
just over three. Yeah.
So, you know, this was what I was kind of getting at previously about bringing players in on short-term deals that you can flip at the deadline. As he was traded from Columbus to Minnesota at the trade deadline for a fifth round pick. So, you know, you might not be able to get that in a couple years because he'll be older, but he had 5 assists in 6 games for the Wild in the first round. I don't even remember who they played in the first round. Dallas?
I believe it was Dallas.
It's been that long. Yeah, he's not the player that Predators fans saw playing for the Red Wings 10 years ago. Predators fans would have loved to acquire Gustav Nyquist at the trade deadline in 2017.
Yep.
Like, that's how, I mean, and at that time, he was usually like a 20-goal, 50, 60-point guy for the Red Wings, and he's bounced around. He played for San Jose, he's played for Columbus, as you said, and then Minnesota at the deadline. And yeah, he's a perfectly fine middle six forward. You know, he can play on your second or third lines. You know, he still can create some offense. He still can skate. You know, I feel like he, of the three players that they signed, probably is the one that fits what Andrew Burdette wants to do. That was another thing that I was kind of confused about. They want to play fast, right? They want to play offensively. I wouldn't consider, especially Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen, to be fast players.
No, they're not fast.
Now, Barry Trotz pushed back on that, and Nick can correct me if I'm wrong. He was like, playing fast doesn't mean skating necessarily.
Right.
It can mean processing the game.
Yeah, which, all he said was, he's not quick, but he's quick when he sees the puck. That's about all that he did as far as talking about speed.
You know, we talked about that with Brunette last week. Like, there are different ways to play fast.
Yes.
Other than the foot speed. But right. Certainly the foot speed doesn't stand out with any of these guys.
But Nyquist of the three deals is the one that I don't really have any issues with because it's short and they can flip him at the deadline for a middle-round draft pick. And that's kind of what their MO should have been at this point in time, but clearly it does not appear to be the case.
So what do you make of the Predators and the moves that they've made in free agency? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Calabria Brick Oven Pizzeria. Calabria has been a Mount Juliet staple for 7 years, and they've added a brand new Goodlettsville location at 401 Long Hollow Pike. Their brick oven pizza is cooked to perfection, and right now you can get half off a $20 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last.
So, Robbie, one correction on your liner. It's Calabria, I believe.
You are incorrect. It is Calabria.
Calabria?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I think that's totally what the Titans are doing, right?
I guess.
Rough start to executive producer Dick Keyser's day.
What a dad joke that was. A collaboration joke. Way to go, Nick. Nice job. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Cam on the text line says, I understand the idea of signing O'Reilly and Shen, but Nyquist does nothing for this team. I just don't understand why they say they want to get younger and faster and make moves shape for the future of this franchise, but yet they got older. Until this team fully embraces a rebuild or a move for the future, we are stuck in mediocrity. We should be signing guys like Philip Zadina that is 23 and looking for a fresh start. That is a player that can grow with our young guys. Really just don't know what they're doing. It's from Cam on the text line. Now, I don't know if I agree with the Philip Zadina part of it, but
yes,
I hear you.
So there was a lot of praise for what the Predators did in free agency. You know, I absorbed a lot of the content on Saturday, and one of the things that always happens after free agency are winners and losers, and I watched a couple, I read a couple, and over on Sportsnet.ca, where you can find my work, Ryan Dixon, who is a columnist for Sportsnet, did his winners and losers, and he put the Predators in his losers category. And I thought that his take on the Predators was probably the closest to my take on the Predators. And this is what he said, quote, I mean, you could call Nashville a winner, given it came away with one of the top free agent centers in Ryan O'Reilly. Really, the best category for the Predators might be, well, I guess. There was just such a great opportunity for a clean slate with Barry Trotz taking over, and it seemed like, when Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene were shipped out, Nashville was turning the page. Instead, Trotz brought in Ryan O'Reilly and fellow early 30s heart and soul guy Luke Shen. Sure, Nashville could challenge for a playoff spot, especially with UC Saros in goal. It's just that it's really hard to see it doing anything beyond squeezing into the playoffs this year, next year, and for any number of seasons beyond that. And, you know, you could hear that and say, well, the Predators aren't trying to make the playoffs. Don't these moves seem like the kind of moves a team makes when they're trying to challenge for a playoff spot?
I mean, yes. Not doing more than being able to challenge for a playoff spot for the next 2-3 years, like, to me, like, I don't put into a whole lot of thought into that. Like, when he's talking about beyond the next 2 years, nobody has any idea. Like, if they go the route that some people want them to go, like Cam wants them to go, and that is to go really young, I think there's like this natural assumption that, oh, well, they'll be bad for 2 years, and then all these young guys will come up, they'll be good, and they'll be ready to be competing for a cup after that. These young guys, they may not be any good. Like, we have no idea how good the young guys are going to be. So I don't put a whole lot of stock into the beyond the next couple of years part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, you know, bringing in O'Reilly, Shen, and Nyquist, I mean, yeah, it signals to me a team that is going to – they're going to be right where we thought they were next year, to me, which is right there on the bubble with a chance to make the playoffs. If they stay healthy and things go right, they might be on the right side of the bubble. If they don't stay healthy and guys have down years, they might be on the wrong side of the bubble. Now, do you view that differently if you're a Predators fan with some of the young guys that are coming out? Like, look, even with O'Reilly in there, Shen in there, and Nyquist, there's still going to be a pretty young lineup, mm-hmm. especially at forward next year with what they do. So a lot of this to me is still about Glass and Parsonen and Evangelista and Tomasino and those guys and how well they play next year and what that looks like for them moving forward. But certainly, like the idea that, oh, well, Barry Trotz just brought Ryan O'Reilly in and Luke Shen in to just to be mentors to all these young guys, I think that's part of it. But, yeah, like it kind of signals to me that they want to be competitive next year.
I got two words for you.
Yep.
And it might send some shivers down Predators fans' spines.
Okay.
Competitive rebuild.
Oh, boy.
Wait, but really, some fans were talking about it being called trotsification on the Midday Show last week.
Trotsification.
We were trying to name it, but I think that the competitive rebuild, like Adam said, is probably the best thing.
And
trotsification.
What?
I like it.
Do you remember how you reacted when you heard competitive rebuild for the first time? It became something that David Poile regretted saying.
Correct.
And, like, I understand, and we've talked about this a lot. When you have UC Saros in goal, you're not going to be bad enough to be one of the worst teams in the league. So I understand that, you know, quote-unquote tanking is out of the conversation. But we just saw Barry Trotz try like hell to get into the top four of the draft and was willing to put Yaroslav Askarov in there, reportedly, yep. to do so. This team, as you said, like you can talk about the pros and cons of the players they signed. I mean, this is a team that with UC Saros in goal, as you know, namely, they are going to be, as you said, right on the cut line of the playoffs. They might get in, they might not. And that means they're going to be picking 15th, 16th, 17th. And guess what you're probably not going to find at 15, 16, and 17? The types of players that Barry Trotz was trying like hell to get in the draft.
Yep.
By moving up. And that's where that is why I find generally what they did in free agency to be counterintuitive. I'm not they you know, making the playoffs should not be a priority. And I just think that these types of moves are the moves that a team makes when they are trying to make the playoffs. And as you said, I agree with you wholeheartedly that, you know, Luke Shen, especially Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly, they've won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Luke Shen won it twice with the Lightning, Ryan O'Reilly with the Blues. They don't need to go ring chasing right now. But those players I do not think sign up for 3 and 4 years of this if they don't expect to make the playoffs at some point, sooner rather than later. And that is why I feel like, generally speaking, the way they handled free agency was counterintuitive.
Well, and I guess the question really boils down to how bad do you think they were going to be without signing these guys? Let's say they got through Saturday in free agency, and O'Reilly went somewhere else, Shen went somewhere else, Nyquist went somewhere else, and the Predators maybe added one guy. Because that's the other part about this that we've not talked about yet. Like Barry Trotz said heading into free agency, yeah, you know, I don't think we're going to be overly active in free agency.
Gotcha.
Way to go, Barry. So kudos to him on that. But like, how bad if this roster without Ryan Johansson and without Matt Duchene, and say they added like one veteran guy, whether it was Blake Wheeler or whoever, like how bad is that team, do you think, if that's the way they would have gone?
I read a mock draft on The Athletic this morning where, you know, they predicted the order of finish. They had the Predators picking 9th in the draft next season. So that means bottom 10 of the league. I think they probably – that probably seems right. For me, if they had just brought in Jason Zucker or Nick Foligno or someone like 8th, 9th in the draft, that seems about right for where I think they would be.
So what does this tell us about Barry Trotz, the approach that he's taken with the Predators, and what this could mean for his plan to get the Predators back to relevancy in terms of competing for a Stanley Cup? We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.